Good morning, KPCW listeners. I'm John Burdick.
And I'm Mitch Elliott. Welcome to the Community Campfire this morning.
How you doing, Mitch?
You know, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little tired. We had our political forum down in Heber last night. And so right back in the studio, right back on the horse, you know?
Yep, I was right here with you. It was fun, though. It was a great job done by all. Thanks to everybody that was involved in the political forum from Heber last night. But today we have a great show for you. Besides knowledge dropped on us by our campfire kids and the skinny on sports, tell them what we got, Mitch.
Yeah, so this week we get to listen to Andrea Buchanan's story about the voice behind the longtime KPCW volunteer DJ Mike Wisland, who you can hear on Friday nights. And then we also have Amber Johnson, who tells us about the pups at Rocky Mountain Therapy Dogs.
And this week's music sesh is with local musician Christine Baird. You get to hear about her journey from Park City to New York City to Austin and back. And she blew up the studio with two of her original songs, so you want to listen to that at the end of the hour. And then first, we're going to hear what Madeline has to say.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests on the Community Campfire are their own and do not reflect the views, opinions, or official policies of KPCW, its management, staff, or affiliated organizations. The content of this program is intended for informational and entertainment purposes only and does not constitute an endorsement by KPCW of any opinions, products, or services discussed during the show.
Amber here. Today we're talking with Campfire Kid Luke, part fashion critic, part third grade legend. He's keeping us on the edge of our seats with his totally undecided take on the latest female fashion trend that probably wreaks havoc on the playground.
Blonde hair, like every time she brings high heels to school. Yeah, to make her taller.
Girls are wearing high heels already?
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I don't know.
Did you have any third grade girls with high heels?
Not that I can recall. You know, probably makes it going on the playground pretty difficult.
I would say, yeah, you definitely can't play two square in high heels.
Yeah. I don't know, man. There's some talented people out there. You never know. But we're going to get into some stories here. So in our series of getting to know the voices behind the voices you hear on the air, we're going to talk with the Wiz, Mike Wiz Wisland. We're going to hear that right now.
Welcome to another installment of Behind the Voices of our Air Force DJs here at KPCW. We have an incredible staff at KPCW, and the DJs are a huge part of what makes the station so unique and, quite frankly, a gift to us all. They come in to bring you music, weather, lost and found, and all-around Wasatch-back goodness. But what happens when they're not here? Some fly planes, others are back in school at universities, and one DJ in particular is a living, breathing radio sound music aficionado. He collects rare vinyl and builds turn-of-the-century record players. Let's listen to Michael, DJ Wiz Wisland's story. What do I call you, Michael or Wiz? What's your radio name?
Wiz.
Wiz.
Okay. Wiz on your radio sometimes.
That's funny. Well, John was saying that you've been DJing here for quite a while. How long have you been DJing here? Do you remember the year you started?
I would say 4 or 5, maybe 2005 or 6 would be my best guess.
So you don't live in Park City. You just come in to DJ for us. Is that correct?
Yeah. I'm only 7.5 miles away, but it's a 55-minute drive around the mountain.
What do you mean?
Because I live in Pleasant Grove. Yeah, I'm kissing the mountain that Robert Redford's on. I'm on the west side of Mount Timpanogos. That's when I take my helicopter to work there.
Yeah, absolutely. Your parachute or your helicopter. And so you teach radio. So you have, like, this is your passion, your career, your life's work.
It pretty much is. I've been recording environmental noise and frogs and thunderstorms since I was a kid. So I went and got an electrical engineering degree because it's the closest thing to, you know, dealing with audio. I got hired by UVU to head up or create out of thin air an audio program. So that's what I did. It's audio recording and audio mixing and live sound and sound for film and television along with radio. So I teach a bunch of things. So I retired from UVU, turned around, and I enrolled as a student because the tuition's free. So I'm taking 3 massive computer science classes, and Salt Lake Community College asked me if I would pick up one of their audio classes. So now I'm teaching for them.
And how do you find DJing? Was it something that you wanted to do?
So I did radio at college for about 3 or 4 years. And then I had a radio show here in Happy Valley on K-Star AM 1400. And that was called the Vintage Vinyl Radio Show. And I think that ran for 11 years. Yeah, and I have a lot of media. The vinyl collection is measured in tonnage.
Your vinyl collection?
Is about 8 tons. Yeah.
Oh, my God. You have 8 tons of vinyl records.
I had to reinforce my basement just to support the record collection.
Oh, so. Have you broken a world record or something? You must have.
No, I might have the Utah record, but there's a classical music collector at BYU that must have twice what I have.
Okay, can you, give me a visual?
8 to 10 linear feet.
Wow.
By 8 feet high.
Wow.
It's surprising how much albums actually weigh. It's for a foot of records, it's like 50 pounds. That's
oh
what it is, 50
God.
Pounds.
I had no idea. These are records from your youth that you just kept, or did you start collecting as an adult?
More in college. Mm-hmm. When I got that radio show, I kind of pioneered this crazy idea of playing oldies at a time when it wasn't hip, and I just had a whole lot of fun with it, going to the antique stores and buying 45 RPMs to throw on the radio show. And I started going to all these record collecting conventions. And every time I went to somewhere in the world, I'd always bring home vinyl. I got a lot of really cool songs that are not available in any other format.
Do you have one that comes to mind?
Ultimate Prophecy by J.D. Blackfoot. It's an insanely rare record.
Mm-hmm.
I literally picked it up about a month ago at a Pleasant Grove store that was closing. And he sold it for $10. It's easily worth $200. It was a very early Beatles record that was in stereo, which was highly uncommon in 1963. And I think that we checked out and went out. It's worth like $18,000 now.
Be careful. You better lock your house. Oh, my gosh.
don't
give out your address.
I have media going back to 1895. So I kind of specialize in turn-of-the-century music as well. But I've got tons of Edison cylinders.
What's an Edison cylinder? I don't know anything. Tell me what an Edison cylinder is.
It looks kind of like a toilet paper roll. And the little cardboard thing on the inside is roughly about that size. And it just spins around and the grooves are on the outside.
Okay. And that's the music is on that thing.
Uh-huh.
And how do you play that? Do you play that on a regular record player?
Good question. No, you cannot. But I'm modifying a old cylinder player, and I am putting a turntable on a needle and a tone arm. We're using stepper motors to move the tone arm left to right across the record, and another stepper motor to turn the cylinder. So I will be able to play any arbitrary cylinder in existence without the use of a cylinder player.
You're dedicated. And it seems like those should go into an audio museum or something, right?
Yeah, some of them are very, very rare. I've got a cylinder with Edison speaking. He's the first person that discovered I don't like the sound of my voice. And so he didn't speak on record very often. It's just a couple. I found it on eBay, but I had to pay $400 for it.
Mm-hmm.
So
very, very cool. Very
my
cool.
Basement is a museum.
You are a rare
yeah.
bird. What's the craziest or looniest Lost and Found you've ever read? Because I'm assuming you do Lost and Found during your show.
I do, yeah.
Okay.
I had two students, trainees, on one night, and we were going through the Lost and Found list, and oddly, two terriers showed up, a Boston Terrier and a Scottish Terrier. One of the students chimed in. He said, well, how do you tell the difference? And the other one said, the Boston Terrier goes, bok, bok. I mean, that cracked this up, and it's become kind of a running gag now.
Okay, I don't get it.
In a Boston accent.
Yeah, okay, bok, bok. Do you have certain music that you love playing the most?
Oh, I'm a huge fan of the Beatles. So for the last couple of years, I've been timing to almost the exact date, the 60th anniversary of the Beatles showing at the BBC and doing a show, which they forced them not to play the records and play them live. I have the entire collection of BBC recordings, so I'm able to sync it up to exactly 60 years ago. This is what happened. That's one of my things I do in the 9 o'clock hour.
That's so cool.
But we're almost out. 2025, 1965, they quit doing the BBC. So I'll have to come up with something else. I think the next thing I'm going to do a deep dive on the record label that the Beatles created, not only for themselves, but other artists that they liked.
Apple? And, is that Apple?
That is Apple. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Apple Records. And people get it confused with Apple computers, so 30-year lawsuit between the two that finally got resolved.
I seem to remember there being a lawsuit, but yeah, why would you name? Well, who won? That's my question. Did anybody win in that lawsuit?
Well, the lawyers were the winners.
always.
But when they finally came to an agreement, the Beatles got $500 million for the Apple name. Then Steve Jobs then finally put the Beatles on iTunes. So he made that money back in probably 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a win-win situation.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, Apple Records. It was a green apple, too, wasn't it?
Granny Smith apple. You could tell the B-side of the record because it was a sliced apple. And so you always knew which was the A or the B-side of the record.
Sounds like you have a lot of knowledge.
I do a lot of deep dives on obscure music, to be sure. And when I find something that's really good, then I pull it off vinyl and then digitize it, set it aside for a future radio show. Of course, play Christy Dilloway's Fresh Track Friday. I just found some great stuff that she has figured out. She's looking for new stuff and I'm looking for old stuff. So we're kind of at the same vibe.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
I get requests from Dax, a bus driver for the Park City Transit. He's a fan of KPCW and he plays it in his bus. Requests from the ski hill groomers, you know, they're just grooming all night long and they're up late night. So I get requests from them. Mm-hmm. Shoulder season's rather quiet. And summer and winter, I get, you know, a ton of calls. So,
all right. Thanks so much, Wiz. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Thank you so much, Wiz, for everything you do here at the station.
Definitely. Well, up next, Mitch, did you know that dogs surf?
No, I didn't know that, but I know that penguins surf, so.
Okay. Well, the pups at Rocky Mountain Therapy Dogs have wild resumes. They sniff out invasive species, help anxious readers, and even save lives. Amber Johnson has the story.
When you meet Hank, the 85-pound Labradoodle with golden curls, a love of peanut butter, and a passion for surfing, you can almost picture him chasing waves along a Hawaiian beach. But from the moment Jackie and Mari Levin brought him home as a puppy in 2020, it was clear Hank was no ordinary dog. He was unusually attuned to the emotions of everyone around him, and he had a remarkable nose. At just 7 months old, Hank's super sniffer led Jackie to volunteer on Hawaiian mountain trails, tracking down devilweed, a fast-spreading invasive species, with Hank guiding the way. Later, he took on an even greater calling, becoming a life-saving service dog for Mari. At 70, Mari seems the picture of health, tall, lean, and quick to smile. A former collegiate swimmer, his stories flow effortlessly, from heli-skiing in British Columbia to surfing breaks off the coast of Oahu. But just over a decade ago, his life changed dramatically. At 59, he suffered a stroke. 2 years later, he experienced the first of 6 heart attacks.
While we were doing some of this work with conservation dogs, I noticed that with my husband was actually having significant heart issues and very active man and didn't make sense, but Hank was noticing when my husband was going into AFib or having tachy or bradycardia, he would start to try and communicate to us. He would put his head in his lap, he would paw him, he would lay on him, which is behavior he didn't normally exhibit on a regular basis.
When the Levins relocated to the Heber Valley a few years ago, Mari's health was still declining. Hank, the adventurous explorer, had already taken on a new role, becoming a guardian. His energy turned inward, finally attuned to the rhythms of Mari's heartbeat.
High blood pressure and heart issues can be killers. And so I think when it gets stressful for me, Hank can immediately calm me down. I mean, we can just hug and that'll lower my blood pressure. So the answer would have to be yes. We're incredibly bonded.
Today, Mari's health is somewhat stabilized, and Jackie recognized Hank's gifts and wanted to give back. Together, they became one of 41 teams volunteering with Rocky Mountain Therapy Dogs.
Amber Miller, the organization's executive director and dog trainer, believes deeply in their impact. Through their work, dog and human teams bring therapeutic and educational services to the community.
They get to go and help individuals in the community and receive love and attention and just help bring down anxiety levels, increase reading levels for students, just kind of help them feel good and de-stress.
The nonprofit is growing, always looking for volunteers as demand already exceeds the number of dogs and owners. Each team completes specialized training and certification, teaching dogs to follow commands, greet people politely, and interact appropriately in any situation. And behind every trained team is a story, like that of Raven, a dog whose journey into service began in the most unlikely way. Raven was a rescue. Her owner, Leanne Scolari, has lived in the Heber Valley for 25 years. A couple of years ago, after the heartbreaking loss of their forever dog, Leanne decided to take a break from dog ownership. Then a friend sent her a picture of a black, curly-haired puppy with irresistible eyes, rescued from the Uinta and Ouray Reservation near Vernal. The rest was history. They named her Raven, honoring the Native American reverence for the bird as a spiritual guide and paying tribute to her early life roaming the reservation. Leanne enrolled Raven in Rocky Mountain Therapy Dogs puppy classes, never imagining where that journey would lead.
Raven had a lot of issues. She was terrified of leaves blowing in the wind. She was terrified of window wells. She wouldn't even walk close to them. She would pull in opposite direction to get away from them.
But in just 6 weeks, she blossomed.
By the end of it, she was okay and confident walking by a window well. And we just continued to put in the work and the time and celebrated her when she did wonderful things and overcame those fears. And after that graduation, we talked about getting her to the next step of looking at the next round of classes and hopefully in the long run, getting her to be a service or a therapy dog.
Raven's growth in those early classes was just the beginning. To become a certified therapy dog, she would need to master a range of real-world skills, calmly walking through crowds, staying composed amid excited children, offering steady comfort in nursing homes, and quietly supporting students during one-on-one reading sessions. Here's Amber again.
And it was just tender seeing every class, the improvement that they were doing, and that bond becoming so much stronger, and the connection they have with Raven. It was just, it's amazing. It's like hard to put in words, but just seeing that grow and grow each time. We got a therapy dog who just loves socializing. And so I said, she's ready for the test. And they still didn't know. They were nervous that they went through the testing. And when she passed, we were all crying. It was so sweet just seeing how much dedication they put into it and that bond they have with Raven, and now seeing it where Raven gets to shine with others with that kind of bond.
It's tough to believe Raven was ever a rescue. Today, she brings calm and comfort to assisted living centers and high schools, quietly serving others wherever she goes.
With the prospect of having to copy the ruined pages that the sneakers fell from the sky.
Why don't we stop right there?
Okay.
And you can do Hank's tricks that you like to do at the end,
okay.
Right? Yeah. Oh, thank you for reading with Hank today.
Yeah.
He loves hearing about the holes. So I want to let you know.
I meet up with Super Sniffer Hank and Jackie at Midway Elementary School, where Hank sits curled up next to student Ava as she reads Holes. She's one of a handful of emerging readers he helps.
Sit, yes, shake, no.
It's all
shake.
In one, it's all
shake.
In one.
No, shake, good boy.
Ava, what's your favorite thing about reading with Hank?
I just love how he cuddles up sometimes. You want to eat that one? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I love how he just cuddles up with me and I get to pet him. It's just, my dog doesn't do that often, so.
Jackie gives Ava a Hank bookmark, stamped with his paw print and the words, "Hank had a possum time reading with you." Hank even has his own ID badge, with a picture of him giving a hilariously stoic pose, plus a sticker, and he's also included in the Rocky Mountain Therapy Dogs coloring book. Hank wears many hats. When it's time to play, he's all fun-loving surfer vibes. When it's time to explore, he's all mountain trails and boundless energy. He's a different dog reading with Ava than the one I saw watching Mari so carefully, focused, protective, and alert. So tell me what this is that you're holding. So.
Well, this is for therapy. You know, this is the Rocky Mountain Therapy Dog scarf that goes around him when he's going to go to work as a therapy dog for Rocky Mountain Therapy Dogs. And that's a different deal for him, behavior-wise, than this, which is his service vest, which has his service credentials on. And so when this goes on him, he behaves differently.
So how does he behave differently when he's a service dog versus when he's a...
So when he's a service dog, is for me, we'll put this on him and he will basically ignore everything else but me.
The bond they share is something special. When did you first notice that he could sense what was going on with you then?
It's a really great question. It's like he's the most incredible creature I've ever... Sorry. He just knows. I don't know how he knows. He knows. He just, like, if I'm in distress, he knows. He just comes and he puts his head on my lap, or he'll just lay on me or whatever. And he's got this incredible intuitive thing. He might also be able to smell. My blood pressure's super high. I think you emit a different odor, and his nose is so good that that could be part of it too.
Amber, with Rocky Mountain Therapy Dogs, has witnessed the impact of these dogs, not just in the lives they touch, but in her own as well.
Dogs just give that unconditional love that, you know, just melts your heart. I was in a situation where I wasn't able to be around society for many years due to, you know, a person controlling that. And so now being able to be out there and see that people just want to help one another, I'm just amazed. Without these teams, we wouldn't be Rocky Mountain Therapy Dogs. And so I just love the time that they're willing to volunteer to bring smiles to others. It's just like, oh my gosh, you guys are so amazing. So that's kind of like long scenario of why I love doing it. And it's like, how could I want anything else?
This is Amber Johnson for the Community Campfire.
Andrea here. More thoughts on food from five-year-olds Conrad, Sophie, Ollie, Jackson, and Spencer.
Boiled eggs. I mean broccoli. Yeah, I don't like broccoli.
Why? Why don't you like broccoli?
Because I don't like it.
What about you, honey?
I don't like burritos.
I don't know. Oh, yeah, I have one. Rotten eggs.
You can't eat rotten eggs.
Why can't you eat rotten eggs?
Because it's disgusting.
Well, I guess you could have rotten eggs inside a burrito with broccoli and make all of them really happy. Yeah,
they would just throw that right in your face. All right, let's find out the skinny on high school sports this week. Coach Skinner and sports intern Madeline Jaquit got to talk with Park City girls soccer team captain Kayla Holder.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Skinny on Sports. I'm Coach Skinner, and I'm here with Madeline Jaquit. And today we are lucky enough to be joined by Park City Girls Soccer Team Captain Calla Holder. Calla, welcome.
Thank you.
Calla, let's get to know you a little bit. Tell us about yourself. What year are you? What position do you play? All those kinds of good things.
I'm a senior, and I play center back for the Park City Miners Girls Soccer Team.
So center back is that's defense, right?
Center, yeah.
How long have you been playing soccer?
I've been playing soccer for about 13 years.
Well, Park City girls soccer team had a really great run this season. Can you tell me a little bit about how the season played out for you guys?
Yeah, so we started a little rocky. We went 0-3 playing some bigger 5A, 6A teams. And then we won one of our region one of our preseason games against a 5A team, and that kind of set us up for the rest of the season. So we went 1-3 in preseason, and then we were able to do a 14-0 regular season tournament. We had a total of a 16-game winning streak.
Am I correct that last season you guys also had a winning streak for region?
Yes, we lost one game to Stansbury, so I think we went 13-1.
Nice.
So 14-0 in the regular season in region, and then you had a little bit of a playoff run too.
Yeah.
Tell us about the playoffs.
So we started the first two games super strong. We beat Jordan at home in overtime, so that was an exciting game. And then we took down the defending region championships at their place up in Logan with a 2-0 victory. And then our run came to a close in the semifinals. We lost 5-3 to the number one seed.
Yeah, so Ridgeline took you guys out on Monday night. Congratulations on a great season.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what's next for you? What are you doing next? Do you play other sports or?
So now I go into club soccer season where starting up in the next week, we'll do like 2 times a month travel tournaments going to other states like Colorado, Arizona, Texas. And then I plan to keep staying in part of the Park City program, helping, going to support the boys team, and then helping maybe with tryouts next year for the girls.
Yeah, are you going to go to school or?
Yeah, I'm going to go to college and major in pre-med and get a minor in French.
Yeah, so Kala, tell us about your role as a captain.
So this has been my first year as a captain. It's been pretty different, taking on a different leadership role. Me and my co-captain, Haley Olson, we've been planning activities outside of soccer, making sure that the environment's super positive and welcoming, and just like we emphasize the positivity in our program. Like, we don't want any drama. We just want like happy players who love to come to practice every day. And I think that's what we've made it so far this year.
Who is looking poised to take your position or take over those roles next year?
Definitely Haley Olson. Next year will be her 3rd year as a captain. The program's in very good hands, and we have a ton of upcoming seniors and juniors that are able to fill that role as well.
So, Kala, tell us about your coaches.
So, our head coach, Anthony DeChico, has definitely helped grow this program. He was a first-year coach my freshman year, and to see how he's grown the program is really cool. Just, again, this positivity that is now in the program, and he cares so much about our team and every player, so I think that's helped build a stronger community, and especially all the coaches, like the coaches have helped grow a really healthy, culture.
Awesome. And Kala, tell us about some of your favorite memories.
So definitely playing at the Rio Tinto Stadium sophomore year in the state finals in the big RSL stadium. And then this year, senior night was really cool. Like, the atmosphere was great. All the fans were there. That was great. And then our last home playoff game against Jordan was really cool. The hail, the snow, and the sleet. And it was fun. It was a fun environment to play in.
Well, Kala, thank you for joining us on the Skinny on Sports this week. And congratulations again on a great season and a great high school career.
Thank you.
Well, turning now over to the high school football playoffs, round one kicks off tonight with Wasatch at Temp View. Those two played earlier this season. Wasatch has their work cut out for them because Temp View won that matchup 33-14 earlier this year. Park City, South Summit, and North Summit all have byes this week. They'll play next week on Halloween at 4 p.m. Madeline will update you on those matchups next week. Madeline, what else do we have happening in high school sports?
All right, first we have girls volleyball playoffs. Park City played Timpanogos last night, but at the time of this recording, we do not have the results, but you can check either Deseret News or Max Preps. Wasatch will be taking on Hillcrest tonight, and South Summit beat Roland Hall Wednesday night, setting up a rivalry game against the number one North Summit tonight. For cross country, the state meet will be in Sugar House Park next week. 1A, 2A, and 4A will be held on Tuesday, and 5A will be on Wednesday. Flag football, a disappointment. The Park City Black team, otherwise known as the younger team, spoiled our senior night by beating my team, PC Red, 28-14. A bummer, but still a great senior celebration, and we are heading into the playoffs next week as well. Lastly, at the Mountain Bike State Championship, senior Nolan Connolly won the ENVE Academic Award. The award acknowledges a student athlete who excelled academically. Back to you, Coach.
All right. Well, let's take a look at what else is happening in the sports world. The Major League Baseball World Series is getting started tonight. Dodgers at the Toronto Blue Jays. Looking forward to some baseball World Series action. The NBA season kicked off this week, but there's a little bit of a dark cloud hovering over the season already. Portland coach Chauncey Billups, Miami player Terry Rozier, and a former Cleveland player and assistant coach Damon Jones were all arrested in connection with illegal sports betting and rigged poker games backed by the mafia. It's likely something we're going to be seeing more and more of as our sports leagues are increasingly mixing and promoting gambling sites during television broadcasts and things like that. It is part of our culture now. What are you seeing over in the high schools, Madeline?
Well, I know for sure that sports betting is a very popular thing amongst high schoolers, so to see this go down is definitely not surprising, but a bummer. But very interesting.
It's here, folks. Okay, well, that's your skinny on sports.
I'm Madeline Jaquit.
And I'm Coach Skinner, and we're reminding you that sports gambling is a great way to make a small fortune out of a large one.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Well, Mitch, you know what the October 24th is, right?
Please do tell.
It is National Bologna Day. Get out there. Get some fried bologna. It's from Italy, Bologna, actually. And it's a mortadella sausage finely ground with dotted flavored cubes of lard. Mm. And have you ever had it fried?
I've never had it fried. I've only had it like the regular, you know, lunch meat version.
Apparently, you can fry it and it turns into like a bowl. And then you can put stuff in it like eggs or chili or melted cheese.
I can't tell if I'm hungry or not.
Yeah, right. All right. And then October 24th, 1929 was Black Thursday when the stock market crashed, selling 13 million shares traded. And the day essentially ushered in the Great Depression.
Well, it's no longer Thursday. It's Friday now. And so let's pick it up a little bit. On this day in 1987, the number one track on the charts was Michael Jackson's Bad.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Who's bad?
I think we're all bad here. Speaking of music, up next we have our campfire sesh with Christine Baird, who sat down with us here at the KPCW studios. First, we're going to honor some underwriters and then hear from our last campfire kid this week, and then we'll get into that interview.
Amber here. Earlier, third grade Luke weighed in on a surprising fashion phenomenon. Girls are already rocking high heels in the third grade, something that could come in handy if you're a vertically challenged guy, but still trying to stay cool.
I wish I could just wear high heels and then paint the high heel like my foot, and then they won't notice that I'm wearing a high heel, and I'll be just taller.
For this week's music sesh on the community campfire, I'm sitting down with Mitch Elliott.
Hey.
And Christine Baird.
Hello.
Back in town. She lives in Austin now, but a Park City native. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. This is amazing. I was saying to you earlier, I've never actually been in KPCW studios, even though I lived here and went to high school here and yeah. spent so much time here.
That's crazy. For people that didn't go to high school with you,
yeah.
who are you and what do you do?
So I'm a musician. I grew up predominantly in Utah, came here when I was in ninth grade, lived in Park City all throughout high school. I've always done some sort of performing, whether it's musical theater or singing with bands or wedding singing or cruise ship. Been a long and winding road, but I recently moved to Austin in April just because I felt like it was time to be back in a bigger scene.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been great. I feel really grateful to have been welcomed with such open arms and so much support, and but it's also really nice to be back in Utah always.
And tell the listeners why you're back in Utah here.
So tonight I am performing at the Marquee. We're doing a celebration of Fleetwood Mac. So it's going to be very, very exciting. And you should all join us. Wow. 8 p.m., doors at 7 p.m.
And how did you get involved with this?
A local Park City musician, Kate Chanson, which I believe you've had on this show before, and she reached out to me to perform a very specific song, and I knew it was going to be a challenge. It's a beast of a song, mm-hmm. and I wanted to take the challenge, and I was so grateful that she thought of me when thinking of that song. Wanted to jump at it, take the opportunity, and now here I am, and the show's tonight.
Well, super exciting.
Yeah.
Excited for you to be back here in your roots. I wanted to shift a bit more towards your music, though. Mm-hmm. So you said that you're always performing, right? But do you also write your own songs?
Yeah, I do. So I released my first EP back in 2021. I was living in New York City at the time. The world shut down and I was like, okay, what do I do? So I just learned music theory and I wrote a bunch of songs. And my friend of mine who is a producer out there, we went to college together. We were like, let's record something. So he had a really small home studio in his apartment. Mm-hmm. And we basically took the time in late 2020 to just record my EP in his apartment. So aside from drums and a couple other auxiliary instruments, we recorded the entire of my EP Sense of It All in my friend's New York City apartment. That was my first major release. And then since then, I've released a few singles and been writing, and I'm looking forward to putting out my next project. You got to live a little bit of life in order to write. I'm not one of those people. I struggle writing every single day. Mm-hmm. I know it's a practice and I know you have to do it. Like, I get it. But this has definitely been a live life moment for me.
How would you describe your sound compared to other artists that maybe have influenced you?
I grew up listening to Celine Dion, so vocally, like, there's some different timbres and stuff that show up that way. I always tell people that if I were to share a bill, I'd be sharing a bill with John Mayer, Chris Stapleton, Sheryl Crow, and Tedeschi Trucks Band. So it's amalgamation of all of those artists. And then I'm a huge Prince fan. I'm a huge Bonnie Raitt fan. So there's different, like, funk elements that show up. There's different soul elements. I have such a wide range of artists I like, so different things will show up. But it sort of lives in that Americana rock soul world.
Well, yeah. We would love to hear some of it right now on the community campfire. Yeah. What's the first song that you want to play for us today?
I'm actually going to play a song that is a ballad that I wrote before I moved. And I left New York in sort of a whirlwind. It felt like I was drop kicked out of the city a little bit. I fell out of love with the city and I was out of a relationship and came back to Utah to recenter after over a decade of living in New York, which completely throws off your nervous system. So I had to come back to the mountains and get recentered. So the song I'm going to play is called Mountain Time.
Mountain Time, right here on the community campfire.
Landed with a weary mind, a broken heart and a crooked spine. I stepped off the plane, fell right down to my knees. Left behind the life I'd built on blood, sweat and city thrills. A decade worth of living that I packed up in a week. Didn't know if I'd get up again. Then appeared a kind of helping hand, and I was saved by the Rockies towering over me and the dusty pinks that begin and end each day. Oh, I traded the noise, the crowds and concrete for a winter wash of cotton candy flakes. Now there's something more I gotta find, but my heart will always beat on mountain time. Well, I started playing out for tips, searching for the joy I missed. The bars and my guitar became the places I'd unfold. A freedom born of empty nights, power that had been disguised, and a voice I always knew would guide me down the road. Didn't know when I'd get up again. Then I took a mighty helping hand, and I was saved by the Rockies towering over me and the desert sun reflecting off the lake. Oh, I traded the noise, the crowds and concrete for evergreens that live up to the name. Now there's something more I gotta find, but my heart will always beat on mountain. Couldn't do this by myself. God knows there's been some help. When asking for a hand, I got a whole community. Then I found a man who saw my soul and friends that helped to fill the holes. And I promised I'd be nothing without the love from a family.
Oh, they showed me how to get up again. Now I can see every piece that helped me stand. And I was saved by the Rockies towering over me and the red horizon straight from outer space. And though I tried, for silence after a warm summer rain. Now there's something more I gotta find, but my heart will always beat on Mount High. Oh, Mount High.
Yeah. Thank you. Mountain time.
Mountain time, that's right.
I know, I'm always on mountain time.
Truly.
So, a little background. I know you from the Follies.
Yes.
And that was your junior and senior year?
Yep, I did two. Well, do you know the story about how I got involved?
No.
Paul Tan, yeah. Maybe it was you.
Okay.
Maybe both of you were running an improv class.
Yeah, we had off-the-top improv.
I was in your improv class, and I did a character in the class that inspired Paul for a character in the Follies that my junior year.
Uh-huh.
And so basically brought me in based on that character I did in this improv class.
I apologize right now.
No, it was amazing. I have such fond memories of it. Do you want to know the thing I remember all the time about you specifically?
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
I think it was the Posh Spittle year.
Uh-huh.
And you were the cop.
I played Sheriff Eddie Davemans.
You pulled over people, and instead of making them walk the line and recite the alphabet backwards, you made them do downward dog and different yoga poses. Classic, yes. Park City move.
Yes. Next year, you played the lead, I think, didn't you?
Yeah, and I Don't Cry For Me, Judge Memorial.
Yes.
Okay. So funny. I have such fond memories of doing those shows. And it's such a pivotal piece of the community as well. And, I mean, people would look forward to that all year. The tickets would sell out.
They still do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So let's get back to you and your music. Transitioning from the stage to being a musician, how did you know that you wanted to now take it away from drama and get into the drama of being an artist?
I mean, I've been singing forever. And when I was in high school, I sang with Caleb Chapman's Crescent Superband.
Mm. Did you wear a cape?
Always, of course. So I was the lead singer in those bands. There was a jazz band, and then the next year we started a funk band, moved to musical theater in college. But after college, I did a cruise ship contract and then came back to New York and got into wedding singing and was kind of playing guitar here and there. I used to go to this restaurant. They had this amazing open mic with this live soul band. And I would sing there, and they actually ended up offering me an early music set, which was 1 hour of music. And so I was starting to kind of play that way. But I look back now and I'm like, I was really, really struggling to get through the set. But that said, around 2021-ish, I just started playing more solo gigs. And then when I actually moved back here is when I hit the ground running with solo gigs and really found my voice in a different way than I could ever find in New York.
I think that it's kind of unique to be in a situation where you always have a supporting cast. Yeah. And you're playing from something that's their charts, their songs that you know, to kind of carving your own way, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think was hardest about that transition, but also what was rewarding about it?
It was hard in the sense that I was transitioning away from a life that I had built over a decade, figuring out a new rhythm, but in a familiar place, that being Utah. But the most rewarding thing has been being able to find my authentic voice.
Now I'm curious, now that you've made the move to Austin, how are you liking the city? What's it like over there for you?
I mean, the scene here is great, and the scene here, it's smaller, obviously. It's not necessarily a place that people expect there to be a big music scene, but there is a supportive, beautiful music scene here, as is demonstrated with what's happening tonight at the Marquee. You know, like, there's this beautiful local musician support system. Austin, there are so many places to hear music all the time, and there is such a built-in network all the time. But it's just been amazing to be in an environment like that that feels more immersed in the music. You know, everyone's just out hearing it all the time. Yeah. So it's been really great.
Well, if people want to hear more of your music, how do we find you? How do we know where your next gig is?
So you can find me at Christine Baird Music. That's ChristineBairdMusic.com and at Christine Baird Music across all social media.
Nice. Wow, you should take up some voice acting too while you're at it. One more reminder for the show tonight. Where can people hear what you're going to be doing?
Yeah, so it's at the Marquee. It's on Main Street. 7 p.m. doors, 8 p.m. showtime. You can buy tickets on mountaintownmusic.org. And we hope to see you there. It's an amazing cause and, of course, amazing music. You can't get better than Fleetwood Mac.
Well, it's amazing seeing you again. And
you
thank
too.
You so much for coming into the community campfire. What are you going to play us out to?
I've released a live version of this one, and this is called If Ever I Lose My Way.
And thinking about the time I've lost. Oh no, no. Watching back my life looks so much like a memory I forgot. Oh, and then every doubt I tried to outrun somehow seems to catch a ball. Once, but if ever I lose my way, I'll loosen my grip and say, hey, there's always another day. If ever I lose my way, my way, my way. Well, I haven't seen since learning how to live. Oh, no, no, no. In a world paled by the water taken from my childhood wish. I've fallen out of touch with love. No. So I'm calling on my heart.
Ready for a guitar solo, let's go.
Well, that's it for this week's Community Campfire. Thanks for listening. If you missed any part of it, you can go online to kpcw.org under the Shows tab, the Community Campfire.
Yep, you can also subscribe to the Community Campfire podcast so you never miss an episode. You can find us on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And be sure to follow us at KPCW Radio and at Community Campfire on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube.
And if you have a great campfire story idea or artist, send us an email at campfire@kpcw.org.
Now, John, I do want one fun fact from you, but before you do that, just wanted to shout out the Park City Girls Volleyball. They won 3-0 over Temp. Mm-hmm. And go Park City Miners.
All right, your fact for this Friday. There's enough gold inside the Earth to coat the planet in 1.5 feet of gold.
Oh, my God.
So all you gold diggers out there, keep going.
They got more work to do, huh?
You've been listening to KPCW Park City. NPR News is next.